colder regions of Laoth, and it looked something like the thin frost that briefly mantled the polar swamps of his own world, in the coldest winters. But Kajar had not said that there could be so many of them. Chapter 7. On Widdershins it was Hogswatch Night, which coincided with small gods in the greater Sadimis calendar. It usually meant a larger clatch meeting, or a number of clatches would join together in celebration. But by midnight, every group would be split, so that each member watched the dawn alone. But as the older Sadimist averred darkly, one was never fully alone at Hogswatch. By dawn, perhaps, some men would be poets or prophets, or even be possessed of a new minor talent, like being able to play the thumb flute. And one or two would be mad. The ground underneath him was warm. Dom lay in the tepid water for some time before he realised it. He was spread-eagled in a large, steaming puddle. Beyond it, the snowdrifts started. He heard the distant air scream. Something hurled across the stars, trailing a sonic boom. It turned in a tight, gravity-squeezing circle, returned slowly, and slammed neatly to a halt on the edge of the puddle. Except that it didn't work. The water was freezing again. The ship danced drunkenly between the drifts and returned a few minutes later under very low power. Isaac opened the hatch. "Now, are we getting out of this place, or aren't we?" he cried. "Mint soda, Chief?" Dom took the glass. Ice tinkled. Frost was forming on the sides. It tasted like a dive into a snowbank. There was fresh green skin on his arms and legs and the back of his neck, where the goo-goo had reformed itself to his body memory. Isaac pressed the memory button on the ship's workshop and slid the soles back on the sandals. He tossed them across to Dom. "Short-circuited in the heat," he said. "They should be okay now." Dom stared out at the starlit surface of the bank. The warm pool had already frozen over. It made a glittering circle in the snow. He had been lucky at that. On the sunny side of the bank, water boiled in the shade. He raised the bank on the ship's radio. Hershegan had been taken aboard the Drunk, destination unknown. The bank knew nothing about the man with the gold collar or the whereabouts of Ig. It had warmed the surface and sent Isaac out because death on the bank were rare and he disliked the subsequent investigations. Dom switched off and drummed his fingers on the console. His face was reflected in the empty screen. It was dark green, mottled with leaf green, because body memory took no account of tanning. He was naked in the stable ship temperature. The memory of recent pain still showed in his eyes, but he was thinking of a man in a gold collar, a smiling man who had taunted his dreams. "No one notices him," he said out loud. "He's just a face in the crowd. He's trying to kill me." Idly, he picked up Corridor's gift. He'd already experimented with it, putting the memory sword through its repertoire, and now he watched as the atoms reprogrammed themselves. A twitch, and it was a needle sword, a short knife, a gun that froze bullets out of atmospheric water and could fire them through steel hull metal. Another gun, a sonic. "I don't know how Grandmother chased me here," he said, "though it is the logical place, but I know where the Drunk is heading now."
"Widdershins?" asked Isaac.
"Banned. She'll get the information out of Hirsch. I imagine she'll threaten him with repatriation to Phanobis."
"That doesn't sound like a threat, Chief."
"To a Phanobe, it is. If he goes back to Phanobis, he'll be in swift conjunction with a ceremonial Shuri, whatever happens. No, he'll talk." Isaac slipped into the pilot seat.
"You could go back to Widdershins. Your grandmother has your best interest at heart."
"I've got to go on. I can't describe it. I just haven't got a choice. Do you understand?"
"No, boss.
Banned, then.
I've calibrated the Matrix computer. It should work."
"You'd better believe it." He hefted the memory sword. If someone else was waiting at Band. Glowing walls, ghostly, half-melting visions, the miniature stars and claustrophobic feel of a ship in interspace, and the visions.
"Chell, what was that?"
"It looked like a dinosaur, boss.
Striped."
He fingered the collar at his neck and showed no anger. Anger clouded the faculties, and so he lived in a state of constant disassociation. But sometimes he thought, not angry thoughts, but little cold statements about what he would do if the collar was removed. What he would do to Asman in particular. And to the misguided genius who invented the collar circuitry. The door opened.
asthma.